Okay, well, we're going to pray and then we'll just begin. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this time that we can meet once again to study your word. We just want to pray that as we embark on Psalm 18, that Lord, you will help us, Lord, to be able to understand where David is coming from and why he wrote this long psalm, giving praise and glory to you. And we just want to pray that you will enlighten us along the way and bless this time, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, today we're going to move on to a new psalm. And this psalm is Psalm 18. Now, this psalm has... It's a psalm where it's a bit of a... Do y'all have the notes? Yeah. Do y'all print the notes? Okay. Yeah, we'll just wait for the notes. You gotta get these things done before we start, huh? Do it earlier. Yeah, wait for the notes for a while. You'll have it online, right? And so Psalm 18 is really all about how it's a historical psalm. And so what we have here is what we call a superscription. Okay, before he wrote the psalm, there is some comments. Most probably, David wrote this psalm and then someone along the way wrote this comment. So this is a psalm of David. Straight away, it tells you it's not David's comment because he will never say a psalm of David. Right, so it's a comment made. A psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, and he said. Okay, so these are his words. These are words of testimony. These are words where he is seeking to bring across truth. This is a very highly personal psalm, and he sought to reflect on who God is and what he had done for him and to give praise to him. Now, through this psalm, we will also be instructed with reference to lessons of faith and of life and how we should see these things. Okay? Now, this psalm was written also in 2 Samuel 22. Okay, now let's turn to 2 Samuel 22. And it's almost exactly the same. Now, so this psalm was written towards the end of his life. Right? So David spoke the words of this song, 22 verse 1. On the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, and he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." Okay? Now, you notice there's a difference in, you put one hand at Psalm 18, one hand at 2 Samuel 22. So on one hand, he says, "The Lord is my rock." But when you read in Psalm 18, he says, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength." Okay? So 22, there's a bit of something missing, right? In 22, he states, "I love you, O Lord, my strength." Sorry, in Psalm 18. But in 22, he doesn't state it. Okay? Now, why? So most probably he wrote 2 Samuel 22 first. And then on reflection, as he thought further, he added in, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength," in Psalm 18. Okay, so along the way, he added the love part. And he says, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength." On further reflection, it is now a declaration of love for the Lord. And this was something that he, as he went through life, as he suffered, as he saw God being there with him, he learned to love the Lord. And this is where Psalm 18 is coming from. Right? Now, Psalm 18, there is a part where there are a few things that we want to emphasize. And the first thing that we want to emphasize, he says, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength. Right? So the first thing that we want to look at is how God... Why did David at the end of the day say, I will love you? Why declare that? Right? And it's very obvious that God has been there for David. God has been many things, which we'll take a bit of time to study. And through all these things, we can see that God, in many ways, had loved David. Right? He has loved David. He has been there for David. He has watched over David many years. From the time he was a shepherd until the time he became king and he was established as a king. Throughout those years, years of running away from Saul, years of struggle, years of difficulty in the wilderness, and then finally God establishing him as a king. As he looked back, he can see how God has been there with him every step of the way. So next week, we are going to celebrate our 53 years as a church. And it's good for us to look back on our life and to see whether the Lord has been there every step of the way, right? And God is someone that we can rely on. And one of the things that we will see is this idea how God has been our strength, right? Now, in Psalm 6, let's go to Psalm 6. In Psalm 6, we see that David is weak. So at this point of time, he is weak. It is a time of weakness in Psalm 6 and in verse 2. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. And I think we all go through these very challenging moments where we feel weakness. We are not strong. We are struggling. Verse 2, for my bones are troubled. So he is weak physically. Okay? He is, my soul is also greatly troubled. He is weak spiritually. Okay? So he's weak. He's really going through a tough time. He's weary with his groaning. Verse 6, I'm weary with my groaning. Okay? Verse 7, my eyes waste away, or the W's. Right? He's weak, he's weary, his eyes waste away because of grief. You know, there are times when you cry and cry and cry until, wow, your eyes really like wasting away. Okay, depart from me, all workers of iniquity. And, you know, for the Lord has heard my weeping. Okay, all the W's. All the W, not so nice words goes with it. Weak, weary, weeping. And what's the fourth one? Huh? Waste away. Right? So this psalm is a psalm of weakness. You know, and he went through this time where he was going through there were people coming after him, and he was really, really in a moment of weakness. Now, when we come to Psalm 18, we see a person of strength. It's totally different. You see the contrast? From weakness, now he is a person of strength. Okay? He is a person who is very strong. Okay? We'll come to it one day soon in the next few weeks. But I like what he says in verse 29. For by you, I can run against a troop. Wow. By my God, I can leap over a wall. Spider-Man. Right? Now, Spider-Man is the biggest blockbuster in the whole history of cinema. Right? And really, literally, he can jump over the wall. He can go against a troop. What does that mean? Well, we'll wait for a few weeks' time. Is it literal or what does that mean? Now, so you can see a person of strength. Right? And of course, who is the source of strength? It is God. God, my strength. Right? It is God who helped him to be strong. So from Psalm 6 to Psalm 18, we see a big difference. That even though we are weak in times of challenge, you know, times where it's challenging, can we still be strong? My answer is yes. God can be our strength to such an extent that we can overcome challenges, we can be sustained in life, we can press on despite all, you know, whatever we have to face. Can we find that strength? And my answer is yes. And this is an example of a person who has found great strength, right? You know, some of us, you know, you cannot start the day until you drink your cup of coffee. How many of you are like, I must drink coffee. I don't drink coffee, I cannot start the day. You see, okay, so we are dependent. What kind of coffee you drink? Starbucks? No, not Starbucks. Huh? Oh, what do you drink? Ice? Ice black coffee, wow. Double espresso. Yeah. How many of you drink Red Bull? Yeah, during my time when I study, it's Red Bull. Basically, it's super high sugar content. Right? When you drink it, you really get a sugar high. But then by the end of the day, wow, you really... But it's good for the moment. So we all, some of us, you know, at the end of the day, where is the best source of strength? It is God, right? It is God who can give us that strength. My strength. Now, the word my strength is mentioned twice. My strength, okay? And then in verse 2, my God, my strength. Now, if you have a Bible, and your Bible, okay, lah, most of you don't have your Bible, but if your Bible has concordance, they will actually tell you, the second strength is actually a different word in Hebrew. Right? Do you see? Can you all see? See, that's why you all must carry the Bible. Right? Then you got all these special things. So the second strength is actually, in Hebrew, is another word. And actually, okay, so my strength. So the first word in Hebrew is the word chazet. Okay, the first strength is not decimeter lah. I just write for you. It's just for your information. And then the other word is sir. You don't pronounce the T. Okay, this is a Hebrew word. And this is normal strength. This is where you get your strength, your power. This is actually a rock. It is, so it's translated as strength because he wants to bring across the strength part, but actually, if you see in your concordance, is the word rock. Okay? And this word rock will be heavily featured in Psalm 18. Okay? That God is not just the strength in your life. You see, when we all go through school, studies, we learn to find God as strength, right? Most of the time we pray for strength. But when we become an adult, when we go through the challenges of life, it's more than just praying for strength on a daily basis. It is now seeking God as your rock. Okay? God as my rock. Okay, what does that mean? So the word can also mean cliff. It's not your small rock. It's a huge rock. It's a huge, solid rock that I can stand on, that I can find refuge in, that I can trust in. You see? That is your strength. You see the difference? So the strength part, there's the internal part, right? Internal expression of help. God is my strength. It's an internal thing. Can you see? But more than just an internal thing, he becomes something that supports me, that holds me up, that I can rely on, that I can stand on. he becomes my strength as a rock. You see the development of idea? In English, you see, okay, you know, just strength. But in Hebrew, you actually see that God begins as a strength, but he can become a solid rock that we can stand on. Now, what am I trying to say in all these things? So along the way, he discovered grace and mercy in his time of weakness from the Lord. He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord gave him strength. Right? Now, how do we see this idea? Now, let's turn to 1 Samuel 23, verse 16. We read. Okay. So this Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. Okay. So David saw that Saul had come to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel. I shall be next to you. Even my father, Saul, knows this." Wow. Now, how can we be strengthened? You know what? It was Jonathan who strengthened him in God. So one of the ways we can be strengthened is when fellow servants of God, fellow brothers, sisters in Christ can come along outside and strengthen us in God. Can you see how he found the strength? So Jonathan was someone who strengthened him. Jonathan was there to help him. And I think that's how we all start. We all start having someone to help us to be strong. Can you see that? And that's how we begin. I mean, when I was a young pastor, one of the things that I learned was to rely on pastor and along the way, Pastor Mark too. Sometimes you feel a bit discouraged and then I go and talk to Pastor Mark. And as we talk, we are strengthened together. Can you see? So don't go through life alone. Don't try to tackle life alone. Sometimes we need a bit of help from others, like the pastors, like fellow, you know, older Christians, leaders. They are there to help us to be strengthened. Initially, in your life. Okay, when I was your age, I needed a lot of encouragement. I needed a lot of strength. Right? Sometimes, I try to cope. Cannot. Well, this is too difficult. And that's where you ask for advice, you ask for guidance, and that person is there to encourage you. Well, thank God, you know, I have a twin brother who's also a pastor, right? And I can always talk to him. And sometimes he come to me and I'll talk to him, right? Thank God we are twins and both pastors. And I mean, to me, that's a privilege. Okay, so don't go through life alone. Sometimes we always think, okay, I can handle it. But, you know, when you have someone to be there with you, run alongside with you, it makes all the difference. Okay, so this is one way where we can be strengthened. Now, there is another way where David learned to be strengthened. Now, in 1 Samuel, now this is later part of his life. In 1 Samuel 30, in 1 Samuel 30 and in verse 6. And this was a time where the Amalekites came and invaded and attacked Ziklag, burned it, and had taken captives, the women, those who were with him, small and great, did not kill anyone but carried them away. And David, his men, came to the city, verse 3, and there it was, burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices, wept until there was no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Wow, they're going to have a rock party. And guess who's at the center of it? David. Right? And his own men wanted to kill him. So he must have been very, very discouraged. But look, this is what he did. Right? And tomorrow, and then in verse 6, now David was greatly distressed because of the soul of all the people of grief, every man for his sons and his daughters, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, this is much later. This is years later, where he learned to strengthen himself in the Lord. So the initial years, he needed someone to help him to be strengthened. But then years later, he learned how to strengthen himself in God. Now, nowadays, I don't need to talk to pastor or even my brother. I can just talk to God. And I learned to strengthen myself in the Lord. And I find the strength. I find the strength each day to keep going. You see how he was strengthened? Right? Initial years, someone needed to be there with him, and there was Jonathan. And then later on, he learned to strengthen himself in the Lord. Right? And he learned. He learned that in the midst of, you know, wives being taken, children all gone, everything's gone, your men want to kill you, can you still find encouragement and, you know, strength? Yes, you can. Okay, you see how he found God as his strength in very practical ways. Can you see? Okay, do you have any questions you wanna ask? Okay, and to me, this is something that's special. Now, we move on to the next. Okay, so we move on to the next part, where, you know, he says how the Lord is my rock, my strength. And then the Lord is my rock. Let's go back to Psalm 18. The Lord is my rock. Okay, the Lord is my rock. Now, this idea of number two, he is a solid rock. Yes. Okay, so my words today will be, so all the W's, all the bad ones, all the S will be the good ones, right? So God is our strength. God is truly a solid rock. So God is what we call a natural solid support that David could stand on and find refuge in. Now, 1 Samuel 23 actually tells us this. Let me read for you, and then I'm going to show you some pictures that will enlighten you to this idea. Now, in verse 14, we were reading this, right? In the zip, in the forest, and they stayed in the strongholds in the wilderness. Now, later on, the last part, Psalm 18 of the second verse, my stronghold. So this is where the word stronghold comes in. And then we read, right? And then the zip lights came up to Saul, and is David not hiding with us in the strongholds in the woods? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all that you desire your soul to come down, and our part is to deliver him into the king's hand. And then Saul said, blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Wow. Please go and find out for sure where his hideout is and who has seen him, for I am told he is very crafty. Okay? See, therefore, take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides and come back to me with certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall be, if he is in the land, I will search for him throughout all the clans of Judah. And so they rose and went to Zip before Saul, and David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon and in the plain. And when Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David. And therefore, he went down to the rock. See the word rock? Okay, he went down to the rock, stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. And then Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So this is the first recording of the game called hide and seek. Okay, so they are playing hide and seek. Except the place they are playing is in a mountain. How to find? Right. And so David made haste to get away from Saul. And Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. Wow, this sounds like catching, you know, hide and seek. And okay, they were encircling him. They're about to catch him ready. Right? So they were coming near. You know, sometimes you watch all those movies, huh? And then all the enemies, they are coming near. And then they are trapped. They are in one corner of a place. Like Lord of the Rings. Right? They all, if you have watched Lord of the Rings, most of the time the show is about people kept in one place and then all the enemies will come. And along the way, help came. But verse 27, just at the right time, at the nick of time, but a messenger came to Saul saying, hurry, come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. You know, just at the right time, the Philistine king, okay, let's go and attack Israel. That is amazing, isn't it? At the right time, at the right moment, maybe God planted this thought to the king of the Philistine. Hey, go and attack the Israelites. And the Israelites. So therefore Saul returned from pursuing David, went against the Philistines, and so he called the place the Rock of Escape. Wow. Then David went up from there and dwelt in strongholds at En Gedi. Okay? Now, can you imagine what En Gedi is like? What is En Gedi like in your mind? Beth? You see, in what you are thinking now is, you know, Bukit Timah Hill. Right? What is En Gedi like? Now, I'll show you some pictures of what En Gedi is like. And then, so this whole place is called En Gedi. Right? And so the rock is not a small rock, the cliff. What he is referring to is this whole place. God is my rock. Okay? Now, next picture. These are all the trail maps that we have. So they have a little reserve there and you know, it's like some hotels and so on. So people go there, you know, and they walk the trail. Now, next photograph. Now, these are caves. All over the En Gedi, you have all these caves. Can you see? Okay, next photograph. So this is another picture of En Gedi. So, David must have traveled throughout this whole place, okay? And he must hid in the caves, and how to find, right? It's so difficult to find. Next photograph. This is the view from En Gedi itself. Okay, beautiful. That's the Dead Sea. Do you know that the Dead Sea is dying? Yeah, the Dead Sea is dying. It's really dead, but it's still dying. Okay, so every year, the amount of water is shrinking. So it's dying. It's dead, but still dying. Okay, next photograph. Now, this is called the Cave of Adullam. The Cave of Adullam, where David also hid. Okay, this is a different place. Okay, enough. Thanks. Okay, switch on the light. Now, you can see it in its fullness, isn't it? The idea of God as rock. Huh? How God was there with him, hid him, the rock of escape, the rock, the Lord as the rock. Now, turn with me to 1 Samuel 22, verse 1. Just a chapter before that, 22 and verse 1. We see this idea of how David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. So that's the cave, one of the caves. And so David learned to find God not just as strength, but as a rock, a solid rock where he can find refuge in, that he can trust in. To trust in him, to protect him, to give him the support that he needs. You see the picture? You can understand where I'm coming from? And you can see the fullness of it. He's not just strength. See, very often we all look at God. Yes, his strength, he's strengthening us. But, you know, we should move beyond just strength, where he becomes our rock, right? All the young people, you all just sang 2 weeks ago, right? How God is your rock. Now, you understand now? You know, the idea of God as rock. Yes, no. Right, Beth, you sang, right? Yeah, do you think of this when you were singing? No, right? So now, you see it in its fullness for what it is. And God can be our rock too. My rock, my strength, my deliverer. See, and so David started in Psalm 3, 4, 5. He called God as shield, my shield. But then through the years, God was more than just a shield. God became his strength. God became his rock. God became his stronghold. God became his deliverer. He began to discover God in so many different ways. He began to see all these different nuances about God. Can you see? Along the way, he began to, discover God and experience God in so many different ways. You see, sometimes we all, when we think of God, okay, give us my strength. God who answers my prayer. That's it. But there's so many other layers, so many other nuances, so many other aspects of who God is that we can discover. And so this psalm is about, you know, David, how he discovered God, and now he is able to see. When you see all these things, okay, let's go back to 18. I have a question for all of you. Okay, let's read the whole thing. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. So my fortress, it's a man-made structure, right? It is something that he built up through the years. Okay, rock is natural. But then as he built things up through the years, you know, he built his faith in God, then God became his fortress. Right? So each one has a different nuance. My deliverer, of course, this is God delivering him. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation. Okay, the word horn, again, if you have you look at your concordance, anybody got a concordance? Do y'all have? Nobody has a. Okay, again, the word horn is the word rock. Meaning power. The horn meaning, the translator used the word horn to bring across the idea of power. Can you see? The power of my salvation, or the rock of my salvation. Beth, you all sang the song Rock of My Salvation, right? I go to the Rock of My Salvation. All right. Ah, this is where it's from. The Rock of My Salvation. My stronghold. Wow. Can you see the different nuance? My stronghold, the word stronghold is a high tower. It is something that is high up. Because it's high up, it's hard to reach. It becomes a natural defense. Can you see? So Jerusalem is on a mountain. Right? Jerusalem is stated on a mountain. Mount Zion. And because it's on a mountain, it is a stronghold. It's actually very hard to overrun Jerusalem. It took the Babylonians some years, lay siege, some time before they were able to overcome Jerusalem. Can you see? Okay, let's stop for a while. Do you have any questions you want to ask? Now, if you put all of them together, what do you have? What is one word that can describe God? So many different aspects, right? If you were to experience all these things, how would you see God? How do you see God? What do you think? Anybody want to try? How would you see God? If you experience all these things. Also starts the word S. So God is solid rock, shield, stronghold, and of course all the other things. Okay, my question is, do you need anything else? If God is all these things and more, we see the... What do you think? Yeah, Beth, what do you think?
We see the sufficiency.
Yes, the sufficiency of God. So when we look at all these things, we see that God is truly sufficient. We don't need anything else. Right? We see the sufficiency of God. He is my stronghold. So his theology of God, who God is, you know, he is profound, he is complex, he is universal. Now he has become very personal. Mine. This truth has been revealed to him and he has applied to his life and he becomes very personal. It's not just knowledge. All these different aspects in his difference, nuance, have become real to him. It's very personal. My strength, my God, my deliverer, my stronghold. Everyone he experienced personally for himself. That's why he says. So his response is, I will love you. My challenge to you as we study Psalm 18 is to be able to discover God in all his different nuances. Is to be able to see God in different ways. And as we discover Him, then our hearts will be moved to love Him more. As we reflect on God, you know, our hearts will be deeply challenged. That we are, you know, we find that sufficiency in God. Right? In Psalm 18 and verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved. Right? Saved from my enemies. Salvation. Okay? Who is worthy to be praised. So these are what we call determination. I will love Him. I will trust in Him. I will praise Him. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Can you see this? Okay. And then the next part, verse 4. The pangs of death surrounded me. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. So he was surrounded. Who surrounded him? Saul, right? So this part where he almost died is a reference to actually earlier, right? In 1 Samuel 23, where Saul surrounded him. Can you see? And because of that, he was able to see God for who He is. And when he cried out, so he experienced, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my Lord, and He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry came before Him, even to His ear. And you know, God heard his prayer. He cried out to God, and God was there for him. So, one, we can find that sufficiency in God. Two, we can, you know, experience God's answers to prayer. You know, these are ways that we can personally discover God, see God, discover Him in a deeper way. We can have a deeper knowledge of God. Okay? Okay, let's stop for a while. Okay, anything that you all want to raise up or you want to discuss concerning this psalm? What do you think? I mean, it's a psalm, I mean, a verse that you all memorized before, but I hope you all sing it in a different light. Right? You all sing it in a different way? Yeah. How? Okay, what's your response as we see God differently in all these different ways? Okay, let me ask you. How do you make God your strength? How are you strengthened in God today? We all know, okay, one of the ways is to pray. But how do you strengthen as we go through life and things become more challenging, how do we find that strength to match the challenges of life? One of the prayers that Moses made for Asher is that as your days are, so shall your strength be. As your days, so shall your strength be. Right? So your days are long, so are your strength. This week, the SSP, the thing that they came out with, it's really, really challenging. But it was a very, very good project for the seniors, but it took a lot for the ladies to come up with it, right? They had to recruit the men to go and help, right? But it was really good. So if your days are long, how do you find that strength? What's your source of strength? How is God your strength as you go through all the challenges of life? Yeah, maybe you ask Audrey, how is the Lord your strength this week?
It's the joy. Yeah.
You're right. Okay, good. I think it's important to find that joy and not lose that sense of joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Yeah. So that's one way of finding you know, the strength. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, you haven't lost that joy yet, huh? Good. Don't lose that joy. Beth, how do you find? Huh? It's going to die soon. Okay? Yeah, go ahead. Just go ahead. Don't worry.
I think for me, it's when I take time to review lessons.
Sure.
And then to keep that in my heart and my mind throughout the week.
Yeah. And that's what he did. He reflected on, you know, on God as he reflected. And yet, it is a sum of reflection. As he reflected, as he thought, you know, God was there to strengthen him further. Right? Matthias, how do you find strength? Okay. Sure. So, Pali is your knowledge of God, isn't it? It's knowing God and His ways. Right? The more you know about God and His ways and how He does things, the more you are able to accept and find the grace and strength to keep going. So, to me, strength comes about when you do something that gives you that grace to find the strength. Do you understand? Huh? Okay, example. To me, the greatest source of strength you can actually have is actually the Word of God. The more you read, the more you understand it, the more you are enlightened to it, the more you review it, the more you take time to read it. So I read 5 chapters a day. That's my own study. And then on top of that, I review lessons. So this morning, I reviewed Revelations. Pastor, I've been writing from Revelations. And I reviewed chapter 1, chapter 2, and then chapter 3. I reviewed the churches. And as I reviewed those things, then I found, there's a certain amount of strength that comes, right? And the strength, how does the strength come? See, one moment you can feel, very tired, very dry, very, you know, out of sort. The mind is a bit muddled up. There's stress, there's worry, there's all kind of feeling within you. But then when you read, you spend that time reading, praying, so I memorize, which the 7 churches, what are the first 4 churches? There's the church of Ephesus, there's the church of Smyrna, there's the church of Pergamos, and then Thyatira, right? First 4. Yeah. And then you think about it, what were their issues? One lost their love for the Lord. The second one is they were commended and they were supposed to be faithful to the very end till he comes. And then the third one is with reference to the doctrine of Balaam. And then the fourth one is with reference to Jezebel, right? I think. Yeah, Jezebel and how she has come in. But, you know, there was a group in Thyatira where they were encouraged to hold fast to what they have, right? And that's our theme, is it? For youth conference, right? Yeah. So as I dwell on it, I find that I don't feel like this anymore. I've moved on. What happened? What happened? How come I was feeling down and, you know, I was feeling out of sorts? And then when I spend an hour or so just reading, everything changed. I feel joy, I feel lighthearted, I feel peace, I find there's now that strength. Okay, wow, it's going to be another weekend of serving. So what happened? What happened? Okay, describe to me what happened. Chloe, what happened? How come there's a change? Just by reading. I can read books, but nothing happens. But when I read this, something happens. What do you think, Chloe? What happened?
Because I guess, like, compared to other books, the truths in God's word are life-giving.
Okay. Truth brings life, but something else happened.
Abiding in God's word.
Okay, abiding. Yes, I'm abiding in God's word. But there's something else that has been brought about. And that's the grace of God. You see, it's true all these things that grace is given. You follow? You don't follow? You understand or not? It's not just reading. You see, when you read, yes, it's truths, but as you read, because it is the word of God, grace is given. You see, strength. Spiritual strength. See, strength, or rather spiritual strength, is very often the result of grace. Do you understand? Spiritual strength doesn't just come from, you know, okay, I pray and then it happens. Or when I just read the word, because it is the word of God, because it's through prayer, because it is through knowledge, grace is given to you for that strength. That's why Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Do you understand? Right? Everything that we do, spiritually, if we are doing it right, grace is given. Okay, let me try to explain this. Now, let's turn to 2 Peter. Okay, 2 Peter, we read. Here we talk about peace and power, right? Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. As His divine power is given to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him. Can you see? Where does grace and peace come from? Knowledge. Where does power come from? Knowledge. Correct? And where does knowledge come from? The Word of God. Isn't it? So the more you read, the more you take the time to dwell, the more you review, grace is extended to give you that strength. You follow? Can you see how grace works? Everything is by the grace of God, especially strength. So when we take the time to read, so grace come through faith. Grace come through reading the scriptures. Grace come through prayer. grace is extended through all these different ways. That's why Paul says, you know, it is by the grace of God. Okay, another one is, let's turn to Ephesians now. Okay. So, of course, this is with reference to the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay, with reference to Paul. In verse 2, chapter 3 and verse 2, indeed, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, now not how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, that you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Dispensation of the grace of God. Can you see? The knowledge came about. And then with reference to all the gifts that we have, chapter 4 and verse 7, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Right? Now, of course, this is with reference to gifts. Then, of course, the main one, one of the 2 Corinthians 12, where it talks about my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Verse 9. So everything that we have is actually from the grace of God. Right? The revelation, the understanding, it's all by the grace of God. And when we read the scriptures, what's happening is that as we read, as we understand, grace is extended. Peace is extended. Strength is extended. You follow? Do you understand? So when I read the scriptures, as I read, as I understand, grace is given to me to be strong. Can you see? Or y'all don't believe in that. Grace is not given. So grace is given. So to me, whenever I ask myself, okay, how do I find grace that will strengthen me? Isn't that the main thing? How do you find grace to strengthen me each day and every day? So one of the things I do is that I read the scriptures. I pray. Knowledge. As I gain knowledge, grace and peace and power is extended. Right? I pray. His grace is sufficient for me. Right? I learn how to memorize His word. As I memorize, grace is also given. Everything that we have is all by the grace of God. That's why Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Nothing that we have is not with the grace of God. Okay, do you have any questions you want to ask concerning this? Do you understand now, Gabby? Can you see? Yeah, Sarah. Sorry?
Is it the knowledge or the grace that comes first?
So grace was given to Paul to understand a lot of things, right? So grace has been extended to him. And then for us, as we understand, as we grow in our knowledge, as we understand who God is, grace is given. peace is given. Power is given. How does strength come about? Strength comes about as a result of grace and power. Do you understand? How do you strengthen something that's inside a person? Physically, yes, we can drink coffee, we can take Red Bull, that's physical. Or we can take, protein drinks and whatever, right? But inner man, how do you strengthen the inner man? It takes power. Sorry, what do you say?
Encouragement.
Yeah, encouragement. But as you encourage a person, that grace and that power is extended to the person inside the person. And as the person is encouraged, as the person learns, grace is extended, power is given, strength comes to the person. Do you follow? So the Word of God doesn't just function by itself. There are other things that goes with it. Of course, the Word of God is alive. There is power in it. And how does that power in the Word of God extends to us? Grace. Can you see? So I depend on the grace of God. Through prayer, through reading the Word, through memorizing His Word, through all these different means. I pray for the grace of God every day, and it is extended to me each and every day. Can you all see? Okay, do you have any questions? Any other questions you want to ask? Okay, and I hope this is something that you all can depend on so much more. Now, so what is the response? Okay, now there are a few things that we want to talk about. So reason for loving the Lord, depth of knowing God, knowing God personally, deeply. So, we can learn to develop that love for God more. Trusting in the Lord more. Calling upon the Lord more. Praising the Lord even more. And as we do these things, there should come a greater sense of love. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. Okay? Okay, but let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and ask that You will work in our hearts and our life as we seek, Lord, to love You more. We pray that we can discover You in so many different aspects, how You can be our strength, our rock, our deliverer, our shield, our stronghold. And as we look at all these things, we can also see that truly You are sufficient. We can see the sufficiency of You in our life. And we don't need anything else. We just want to pray that You will bless us as we learn to depend upon Your grace through reading Your Word, through praying, through learning how to just rely on You. And we just want to pray that You will bless us, strengthen us, Lord, as we go through all the challenges of life. So bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.